AOC saw a deepfake of herself. Shooting at the police has consequences. A classic board game is appeasing the Gen Z kids. Beyonce released a country album. That and a whole lot more on today's Random Thoughts. Hello and welcome to episode number 271 of the Random Thoughts podcast. Spell that RANDUMBthoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill. And thanks to everybody who wished me a happy birthday on the social medias, whether it is at Darren O'Neill, DarrenOneill on X.com. Or Darren, DarrenOneill at planetrage.social. It is a lot of fun getting older, right? I mean, it beats the alternative and all that. But it has been an interesting week in the news, as it always is. Seems like a lot of things continuing to cycle around, which is why you ask yourself, what is the reason behind it? The deepfake concept, the deepfake story, once again in the news, this time because AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, pretended to just finally see some deepfake porn of herself, which it's been around since the minute she hit the limelight. So I don't know. I don't believe that this just happened, which again is why we have to ask, what is the end game with all of this? I have been very clear in covering this and was one of the first shows to start covering the deepfakes. Once the technology is out of the bottle, as it is now, it's never going away. Trying to legislate this is not really something that can be done at this point because we still have anonymity on the internet, which leads down that path of this may be the end game. This may be what this is all about. Just like I told you 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever the bullying thing started. And I know this show wasn't around then, but I was doing another show back then called Alt This. Once the bullying thing hit, you knew it was about taking away your freedom of speech. You knew it was about taking away your right to anonymity, because once you're going to make speech, things you can say, things you can create illegal, well, then you have to be able to track all of that back to the creator of the thing that was posted on the internet. Whether it is audio, video, photos, whatever you're posting to the internet, you need to have the ability to know who posted that, which is also filled with a lot of problems, such as, well, somebody else accesses your computer and sends it from there. Then what? Somebody else jumps on your Wi-Fi network that you never changed the password on, and the password's password 123 and sends it out to the internet. Then what's gonna happen? But it is in the news. AOC saying that she saw this video or images, whatever it was, and was affected by it. And this is going to be one of the few cases where AOC does not sound absolutely, positively insane. And she's not calling for any of those things yet, as far as killing everybody's anonymity on the internet, but it is being pushed in that direction when you're calling for it to be protected under legislation. Can I also point out that the internet is global? One more time. I feel like I do that about once a show. The internet is global, and having laws against things like deepfakes or any kind of fake content creation any AI creation using somebody's image, any AI creation using somebody's voices, like creating music. If somebody does this in a country outside of the United States does not have jurisdiction over that. So we have all sorts of different problems, which is going to lead me right down to telling you the same thing I seem to tell you every show. Keep your kids off the internet. It's not safe. But AOC told Rolling Stone, I love that Rolling Stone is the bastion now of the place people go for news, which not a good idea. They're very, 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 very biased to the left. Not even sure that was enough varies. But AOC told Rolling Stone that, quote, digitizing violent humiliation, end quote, is akin to physical rape, and predicted that, quote, people are going to kill themselves over this, end quote. Now, Rolling Stone, the period would go before the end quote. Just want to let them know, if they're listening, they're grammatically not very good. They're way too worried about their leftist ideologies. I believe AOC is 100% correct here in saying that people are going to kill themselves. I've talked about that with the deepfakes in the past, that when shown, especially to younger females, being shown a deepfake of themselves, even though they know with certainty that it is not a real image, that it is a created image, that it does not actually depict them doing the thing. I mean, it depicts them doing that, but they know they didn't actually do the thing. This is a fake photograph. They know this, but the damage to them is the same. Their reaction is the same. The shame, the humiliation is the same, even though they're aware that it's not real. And this is probably the most dangerous part about the whole deepfake thing, is what we really have is a problem with our children, that they are not being brought up to survive the reality that they are now going to have to deal with. This is now simply a part of the world. Wasn't like that when I was growing up. The technology was not there to easily create these kind of images, and it certainly was not easy to spread anything worldwide instantaneously like you have now with the internet. The internet has changed a lot of things, and there's a lot of people who are not capable mentally of handling this, and a lot of those folks are the younger ones, who will see a fake nude of themselves and react as if it was real, meaning that for all of you parents out there, your kids are one click of a mouse away from being able to be controlled by somebody who creates one of these images and blackmails them with it, even though it's not real and your kid knows it's not real. They're still going to react as if it's real, meaning they're going to pay, which is usually the way it happens with the younger males that this has happened to. There are a string of people who are doing this and then demanding money. If you don't send me money, I'm going to send this to everybody on your friends list, and you're going to be humiliated. And males have killed themselves over this after they deplete their bank accounts. Females the same way. Females are often then coerced into sending actual nude images or whatever in order to have the person on the other end say they won't release it, which of course then adds fuel to the fire, because then the person on the other side has a real image of them, and then things progress and things go horribly wrong. You need to know that this is now the reality. Governments aren't going to be able to help you. If you see an image of yourself that appears that it's doing something you would never do, most likely it's an AI deepfake, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, even though everybody wants to tell you that we can legislate it, blah, blah, blah. And they will. But enforcing that on the internet as we know it is impossible. The only way, understand this, before you get that knee-jerk reaction, like, no, I think this is horrible. We have to take all these. It's way more important that we take these people down. And it's way more important that we can tell who these people are and we can put them in jail for creating the deepfakes. Understand that that means the death completely of anonymity on the internet, that the United States will move to a system like China has, that you have to log in as you when you go online. You have to have your name attached to everything you post, everything you look at. Everybody in your family's got to have their own logins. And that is really still not something that's ever going to be able to be 100%. And let's understand that the people that will create something like this and distribute it will probably be smart enough to pin it on somebody else, to go into somebody else's account, to use somebody else's machine. But I digress. AOC continues, quote, saying, there are certain images that don't leave a person. They can't leave a person. That says, citing research into problems that the human brain has in separating reality from fiction, even when the material is understood to be fake. Again, I'm surprised AOC even knows that this is the case, but it has been proven again and again. Just told you, if a young girl is shown a photograph deepfaked that she knows isn't her, but it looks like her doing something, then it has the same reaction. AOC, quote, it's not as imaginary as people want to make it seem. It has real effects, not just on the people that are victimized by it, but on the people who see it and consume it. And once you've seen it, you've seen it, end quote. Well, that's very Yogi Berra of AOC, but not incorrect in this case. But thinking legislation is going to fix this, absolutely incorrect. From a Daily Mail article, I know, another bastion of fine journalism, AOC talking about the new act that's going to save everybody from the government. Quote, the Defiance Act will allow victims to finally defend their reputations and take civil action against individuals who produced, distributed, or received digital forgeries, end quote. Now let that sink in. This is the AOC that we were all waiting to show up with the incomprehension of the world around her once again. So you're going to have the government create legislation which will allow them to take action, civil action, which means money, which means when it's your 12-year-old neighbor who doesn't have any money, then what are you going to do? I don't know. That's really not going to change much because it is so easy. Even a 12-year-old can create this stuff now. But going after the individuals who produced, distributed, or received these images. Well, okay, the produced thing, I kind of understand, and the distributed, although the case I think is already being made that you can produce whatever you want for your own personal enjoyment. So if you really wanted to fill up your hard drive with fake AOC porn, you're more than welcome to do so. But it's the distributing, putting it on the internet, where the issues come. But the receiving part, I think, is great because you can now take somebody down just by sending them an email, a direct message, whatever. As long as you can get that image into their hands, they've now received it and they've committed a crime by receiving one of these things. How, I don't even understand how stupid AOC can be, but I'm glad she is because it adds to the fun of covering stories like this. The Daily Mail says this bill would create a rights for victims of digital forgery to sue the publishers who forge their likeness using software, machine learning, artificial intelligence, or any other computer-generated or technological means. If the bill passes both chambers, of course, it would be the first federal law protecting deepfake victims. It has bicameral and bipartisan support with Republicans Nancy Mace, Senator Josh Hawley, and Marsha Blackburn backing it. Again, people that don't understand the technology. And once again, AOC actually says something fairly smart. Quote, people increasingly since the emergence of smartphones have relied on the internet as a proxy for human experience, end quote. And this is why you keep your damn kids off the internet. This is why you have to understand that if you start posting a bunch of photographs or a bunch of videos of yourself on the internet, you're giving people who want to do things like making deepfakes material to work with. If your image is not readily accessible on the internet, this probably is not going to happen to you unless somebody actually comes in physical contact with you and is able to snap a couple photographs or something. And I apologize if it seems like we keep covering that same story over and over again, but it is important, vital, especially for those of you who have kids, to let them know that this is the reality. The government is not going to help you. There is a decent chance now that this is going to happen to you, that somebody is going to take your face and put it on an image that is not you doing things that you probably wouldn't do. And if you were doing them, you probably wouldn't photograph them. You have to realize that's the reality, and your kids need to be ready for when that happens to them. They do not feel the shame and humiliation that they come talk to an adult, that if it's one of their friends or something that's creating it, then you make sure it gets stopped. And really just understand this is not worth hurting yourself for. This is not worth killing yourself for. This is not worth allowing your life to be ruined over, because it is now going to be, for better or worse, this is going to be the norm as we move forward, because the technology is not going anywhere. Another thing not going anywhere, violence in Chicago. This story coming from an event from March 21st, where a 26-year-old black man pulled over for a traffic stop, which turned into a hail of gunfire and, of course, is causing insanity to swirl protests because the police allegedly using too much force. But the reality of the situation here is, this 26-year-old Dexter Reed was already out on a gun charge, which means it would have been illegal for him at this point to have a gun. Of course, the news coverage from a lot of these liberal outlets would tell you this was just somebody out for a drive and he was killed by the police. It does not appear to be the case, because there is body cam footage of all this. There is a question on why a Chicago police vehicle with five tactical officers in it made a traffic stop. Not sure why there's ever five officers in one vehicle unless they're all going to one location. I doubt this is something that is normally out on the street patrolling. I mean, if it is, it wouldn't seem like a good use of resources. Five people, one vehicle. They said that the stop was for a seatbelt violation. Now, I don't know how they saw this. The vehicle had very dark tinted windows, which is also illegal in this area, which you could have just said, we were pulling it over for a window tint issue. I don't know. We're going to have to get some more details here. on why this stop was initiated again. If they ran the plate and they knew that it was a guy already out on a gun charge, maybe they just decided they wanted to pull him over and see if he had a gun. So I understand the people that are making the argument about him being pulled over in the first place. But at this point, we need to get beyond that. Those questions, I'm sure, will be answered because this is Chicago after all. And get to the point that the body cam footage shows a female officer approaching the driver's side of the car, telling the driver to pull the window down, which he does, and then starts putting it back up. The officer at the window there asks him what he's doing. And the next thing we know, shots ring out, and it seems, according to people that have seen the videos, they've been released, that the 26-year-old in the vehicle shot first and shot a police officer. From WTTW here in Chicago, quote, Chicago police officers fired nearly 100 shots in less than 1 minute after Dexter Reed appeared to have shot first during a fatal traffic stop in Humboldt Park last month, according to police oversight officials, end quote. So the question now becomes, because the story is, well, there was almost 100 shots. I think it was 96, maybe 91, 96. Either way, a lot of gunfire went towards this young man's direction, and he was killed. But once again, the evidence appears to show, and let's just assume for a minute that this is correct, that the driver shot first. What did you think was going to happen? And what do you think should have happened? You're on the streets of Chicago, traffic stop. Somebody opens fire on the police. Now, this is a slightly different case because I would believe that most traffic stops, you're being stopped by two cops. I mean, I don't think we have anybody working alone anymore, especially in Chicago. So usually I would think if you're being pulled over on a routine stop, you would have one officer coming up to the driver's side, maybe one holding back on the passenger side. So if a shooting match breaks out, it's 2-on-1. So the amount of gunfire towards the assailant who opened fire would be a lot less. But in this case, you have five officers that were surrounding the car, the SUV in this case. And once the driver opened fire, do you think that only one cop is firing back? Do you think that only two? Do you think that there's some kind of, I have no idea, to be honest, if there is any kind of rule or regulation. But I'm thinking if there is a shooting with somebody shooting at the police and you've got five officers there, you're not leaving anybody on the bench. All five of them, once the shooting breaks out, are going to open fire. And unfortunately for this young man, it means he wound up dead, but he opened fire on the police when he was surrounded by the police. What did he think was going to happen? He knew he was already out on a gun charge, which means if they were going to search his vehicle, and maybe that was the point, they were telling him to open the door, and he knew if they found that gun, he was going back to jail anyway, made a really bad decision. By opening fire, the cop that he hit was black. Not that it should matter, but it does in Chicago. This seems to matter because it is a racial thing. It is a anti-cop thing. The most ridiculous quote, and I feel bad for anybody that loses a brother, sister, husband, wife, but this kid's sister, and I guess, you know, again, I'm old. So at 26, his sister said, quote, he was a sweet, brave, ambitious, respectable young guy that just liked to spend time with his family. There's no way he should have been gunned down by CPD, the Chicago Police Department. And she continued, whether he shot or not, he should not have been murdered. End quote. So he was a sweet, brave, respectable young guy. But, you know, even if he shot at the cops, but they shouldn't have shot back. And this is the whole point of words meaning things. You're not murdered if you shot first at the cops and then got hit by return gunfire. What do you think he was trying to do by opening fire at the cops? Wonder what his sister thinks there. Don't you think that maybe he was trying to murder a cop? Opening fire on anybody, you certainly know that's a reality. Guns are not toys, kids. Did we miss this part? And it's just absolutely ridiculous that somebody, the evidence appears to show, again, haven't seen it, but the evidence, the body cam footage appears to show that he shot first at the cops. But then the news coverage allows people like his sister to go, well, he shouldn't have been murdered. Well, he wasn't murdered. He was not murdered if he opened fire first. The mayor of Chicago, who is pretty much useless, unfortunately, said, quote, I am personally devastated to see yet another young black man lose his life during an interaction with the police. But he also went on to say that he spoke with both members of Reed's family and visited the wounded officer, and he continued on by saying, quote, both Dexter Reed and this officer could have been my students, end quote, adding that the officer who was shot was in grave danger of dying. Mayor Johnson saying, quote, if that bullet had hit him a few inches in a different direction, I would be here today talking about the loss of another black man, end quote. The family, though, is calling for criminal charges of the officers involved and also demanding the disbandment of tactical units like the one involved in the traffic stop. Yeah, because that's going to make the city better. Let's take all the cops off the street. That way the criminals will just be able to shoot each other and nobody will have to go to jail. I don't know. It is absolute insanity. Law and order must be brought back. In this case, there are questions on why the stop was made. Would like to have a little bit more information on that. But beyond that, the evidence appears to be clear that the person that started the shooting was the one that wound up dead and, of course, is now going to play the victim. Sorry, you do not get to do this. This is the same thing like Hamas going into Israel and killing a bunch of people and then going, no, 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 don't shoot us. That's not the way the world works. You do not get to shoot at anybody, cops or not, and then play the victim. You just don't. That's not reality. That's not the reality that anybody should want. Actions have consequences. It's another good lesson that the parents should teach their kids growing up. And another one, moving on to a much lighter story. Mattel, the makers of Scrabble, the game that's been around for 75 years, yeah, they're coming out with a new version of Scrabble where you don't score because the Gen Zers do not like to compete. They do not like competition. They do not like the stress. Absolutely insane. The new Scrabble, at least Mattel found a slight answer to this rather than putting out a game only, which some people are calling for the woke snowflake version. The Scrabble game is now going to come with a board that has two sides to it. One with the regular Scrabble board on it and another side that is for the non-scoring team play. Let's just have fun with words concept. We have a quote from Giles Brandreth, who co-hosts the language podcast, Something Rhymes with Purple, who told BBC Radio 4, quote, the makers of Scrabble found that younger people, Gen Z people, don't quite like the competitive nature of Scrabble. They want a game where you can simply enjoy language, words, being together, and having fun creating words, end quote. Now, I wasn't aware that Scrabble was this high stakes, that Scrabble was something that people would have an adverse reaction to. I mean, besides not having a vocabulary or the ability to spell, I wasn't aware that it has gotten this bad in the Gen Zers that the competing over anything is causing them all sorts of strife to the point where we have to come out with a new version of Scrabble. Ray Adler, the vice president, the global head of games for Mattel, said in a statement, quote, "Scrabble has truly stood the test of time as one of the most popular board games in history, and we want to ensure the game continues to be inclusive for all players. For anyone who's ever thought word games aren't for me or felt a little intimidated by the classic game, Scrabble Together mode is an ideal option." And I don't know. Again, good on Mattel, I guess, for coming up with an alternative version for big dumb dummies that don't know how to spell. But this placating the Gen Zs, not wanting to compete, this goes along. Everybody gets a trophy. This goes along. Oh, you can't have a valedictorian because it makes the other big dumb dummies feel bad. Goes along with the story I had last week where the Seattle schools closing the gifted schools because, you know, the kids' colors of their skin, they weren't right for the demographics that they wanted. This is absolutely insane. Of course, some of the people on social media calling it Scrabble for Snowflakes and woke Scrabble, which, yeah, I think that pretty much shows you exactly what it is. The new version described the scoring as a thing of the past because now all you have to do is finish a goal and collect a goal card. And the first person who completes 20 challenges is the winner. You don't have to score the words. No, I loved the examples of some of these challenges in this new Snowflake Scrabble. Challenges such as, quote, play a horizontal word, or, quote, play a three-letter word, or, quote, play a word that touches the edge of the board. Oh, this sounds like some captivating things. Granted, it might be the only way to keep Scrabble relevant because the dumbing down of society probably has made Scrabble less relevant in recent years. It has been a while since I've played Scrabble, but it would be something that for the kids could find a way to build a vocabulary. But no, we don't want that. We don't want the kids to be educated. We want them to all to be big dumb dummies together. Nobody can stand out. We can't dare score a Scrabble game. I mean, we can't score a Little League game. We can't score a Scrabble game. You can't score a kid's soccer game. Unfortunately for all these kids, when they move into the real world, they will learn that competition is a thing. And that is why kids' sports, playing games, all of these things that are, you know, playing as a child, you learn that you're not always going to come in first. You're not always going to win. Sometimes you're going to lose, and you have to learn how to do that gracefully and move on and try to get better at whatever you're doing. But no, not anymore. When they hit the real world and there's competition for the job that they want, they're not going to be able to handle it. When they hit the real world and they want to start dating somebody, well, I don't know if they still do. We've had plenty of stories about that as well, where they would rather, you know, just sit alone in a basement because, like Scrabble, dating is just way too intimidating for the Gen Zers. Parents, you are not helping your kids by allowing them to grow up in a little bubble. You need to push them outside of their comfort zone so they can succeed. The Gen Z parents, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they are not helping their kids. And it's so bad. Scrabble now. We need the unscorable edition so the kids could just have fun with words, play as a team. When's the last time you heard somebody that's like, let's just have some fun with vocabulary? Don't think you do. So it'll be very interesting to me to see whether or not this game sells. Something that I'm sure will sell. Oh, what a beautiful transition that was. The new country album from Beyonce. Yeah, that Beyonce, which I have no issue with. I say if you want to make country music, make country music. But Vice President Kamala Harris is getting a majority of the headlines for things that she is saying, including saying when she grew up, her mom used to listen to a lot of Ray Charles, and she says, quote, I'm pretty sure the bulk of his work was country. I think the bulk of his songs in terms of writing and performance was country music, end quote. As Charles Sperling of the Daily Mail pointed out, Ray Charles produced over 60 albums, 7 of them featured country music. So no, Kamala, not a majority of his music. You know, when I think Ray Charles, I know that he released country music, but I'm also aware that a vast majority of his music was R&B and soul. The fact that Kamala Harris doesn't, as a woman of color, is kind of hilarious. Of Beyonce's album, the vice president said, thank you for reminding us to never feel confined to other people's perspective of what our lane is. You have redefined a genre and reclaimed country music's black roots. Your music continues to inspire us all, end quote. I don't think somebody releasing an album redefines a genre, madam. I don't think that is the case at all. And I'm not sure about reclaiming country music's black roots. I think maybe the vice president should go through and do a little bit of homework on country music and show us where the black roots are strong. There've always been black artists, but this isn't rock and roll, which is based very strongly on black music. I mean, the blues, obviously very strong black influence, majority. But in the country music vein, I don't think the vice president has a clue about what she's talking about. Beyonce posted on Instagram on March 19th, quote, I feel honored to be the first black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart. My hope is that years from now, the mention of an artist's race as it relates to releasing genres of music will be irrelevant, end quote. To that, I say amen. Beyonce, obviously a talented singer. I have not heard her country album as of yet, but I will. And once I do, I will report back to you what I thought of it, but I'm guessing it'll be fairly decent, because a lot of money went into it, a lot of production went into it, and there's no doubt that Beyonce is a more than capable singer, and she is basically paraphrasing Martin Luther King Jr. here, saying that she hopes years from now, the race of an artist releasing the music will be irrelevant, and I think that is a great thing, as it should be. We need to stop the divisiveness of continuing to point out our differences as one of the reasons why the country and the world right now is in the sad state of affairs that it is. And I applaud Beyonce for coming out with a country album, if that's what she wanted to do. I loved the Ray Charles country albums that he put out. Bruce Springsteen has messed around in the country vein. Dig that as well. It's no fun as a musical artist to stay in one lane for too long, especially if you have a long career. If you have the ability to go in, and Ray Charles was one of the best with being able to dip his toes into various genres of music and do them at the top level. Ray Charles did not put out any bad music that when you compare it to like what's coming out today, Ray Charles, if he wanted to do rock and roll, it was great. If he wanted to do soul, it was great. If he wanted to do R&B, it was great. If he wanted to do country, it was spectacular. And if you've never heard Ray Charles sing country, definitely check it out. I am curious now, though, what Beyonce's country sounds like. If it's like the pop crap that's currently on the radio that kind of sounds like pop music sounded 10 years ago, or if it'll harken back to more of the real country artists like Loretta Lynn or Dolly Parton or something like that. It's going to be interesting. I need to check it out. In the meantime, I want to thank you for checking out this episode of the Random Thoughts podcast. It is a value for value proposition, which means it is funded by you. The shows go out there free. You don't have to pay anything if you consume them, if you listen to them with regularity, and you get any value out of doing so. All I ask is that you help out and send some value back my way by going over to Random Thoughts, R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com/donate. You can use the donate button to do the PayPal one-time or monthly donation thing. You can use the QR codes or wallet addresses if you want to go the crypto route. You can use the P.O. box address if you want to go the snail mail route. If you're over on Patreon, you can look us up there. And if you're in the podcasting 2.0 ecosystem, you can boost us. You can stream Satoshis while listening. It's all appreciated. If you don't know what the podcasting 2.0 ecosystem is, wow. Go to newpodcastapps.com and download one of those apps and play around with it. You will be glad you did. Today, a few people to thank, all coming from the Satoshi route. Name Slamy, who sent us a 1,000 Satoshi boost and was streaming along, says, quote, I have less face-to-face interaction when I go into work than when I work from home. Telework tools have replaced meetings. Work is weird, dude. End quote. Thank you, Dame Slamy. Listen to the last episode if you missed it, where I talked about how many people now can go for up to 3 days or maybe more without having any face-to-face interaction. Heard from a couple of the truck drivers out there, Cyber Sir, Cyber Trucker, and Sir Truck Driver, who pointed out that their world now is much less face-to-face than it used to be. You don't have to sign receipts to buy the gas. You could just swipe at the pump. A lot of the truck stops that used to have more full service kind of diners are now fast food joints with boards that you order the food on. And even when you're dropping off a load or picking up, people don't want you to come inside. I don't know if that's a COVID thing or what, but it's strange that we've moved to the point to where people do not want face-to-face interaction. It is leading to all sorts of problems, and I don't see that getting better anytime soon. But thanks again, Dame Slamy. And then thanks to our buddies Dale Jr. and Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, two guys who seem to always be streaming this show when it comes out. It is very much appreciated that you're giving me your time to listen and supporting the show with those streaming Satoshis. The Podfather, Adam Curry, would be very happy. It's a great way to support the shows that you love in a way that doesn't break the bank. So it's a beautiful thing all the way around. And the podcast hosts know that people are listening, and that just makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So thank you to everybody who has supported the show, both monetarily and by giving me your time just listening. It is all very much appreciated. With that said, I hope you have a fabulous week, and I will be back with you next week for another edition of the Random Thoughts podcast. Until then, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening.